The book of 1 Corinthians, I'll do Brother Todd a favor. So, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Now, tonight I'm going to try to do, cut my message down. I'm watching the clock because I know we have a business meeting. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or not, but if I don't, I'll just quit when it's time to quit. I've got enough material for about 40, 45 minutes. I'm going to cram it in about 20 if I can. Can't do 30, wouldn't have time. Somewhere in 20, 25 minutes if I can, and we'll quit. Now, given my subject matter, that's going to be a challenge to me. As you can tell by the screen what my subject matter is, I want to talk to you tonight just on the testimony, the treasure, and then the teacher of God's Word. Just remind you of some very basic truths, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 7. Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And I love this next verse. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now let me, of course, go ahead and quit my scripture reading there. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This is a familiar passage, I am sure, to most of us, well, I think to most all of us, I know it is to me. I have preached, I don't know how many times, from this text over the years and quoted in other messages. But tonight I just want to look at it under this theme of the greatness and the importance of the Word of God. Now listen, folks, this is a simple statement. But you understand that the Word of God is something for which we should be eternally grateful. We should never take for granted. I mean, think about it. This is the Word of God. Have you ever just thought what that means? I mean, this is the Word of God. As I often say to you, this book does not just contain the Word of God. This book is the Word of God. And if you let that get settled into your heart and really believe that, it would make a great difference in your life. I mean, we have at our disposal, in our possession, the very words of God. That tells me that we should, if we believe that, we should be reading it often. As a matter of fact, I'm convinced that every day God gives us breath. We should be in the reading and the study and the meditation of God's Word. Now, I say that, but I am also kind of a realist. I fear that the vast majority of those who profess to be Christian hardly ever open this book, hardly ever read this book, outside the four walls of this building. Now, I hope you're different in that respect. George Mueller one time, and George Mueller was a man who was known to read the Bible through in his several times in his life. In fact, he said he lost count of how many times he read the Bible through. And George Mueller was quoted one time as saying, he said, "I look upon it as a lost day when I don't have a good time over the Word of God." That's how we ought to feel. It is a lost day. It is a wasted day when we don't spend time in this book. This is God's Word. You know, and listen, there's so many wonderful things in the Bible for us to see. We sing that song, you know, "I'm so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me." I'm saying we ought to spend time reading this book. Do you really believe this is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? I put a quote on the screen, and I jotted it down. It's a rather long quote. In fact, nobody knows really who wrote this, but I liked it. One unknown writer said, "This book is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers." He said, "Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable." He said, "Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, and the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character." He said, "Here paradise is restored, heaven open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject. Our good is its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill our memory, rule our heart, and guide our feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts. It will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, a resurrected life in Christ, and yes, to glory," he said, "and for eternity." Now, I don't know who said all that, but that was somebody who understands, folks, this is the very Word of God. It is a river of pleasure. It is a gold mine of wealth. It is a paradise of glory. And so I just want to impress on you again, folks, the ideal that we have in our possession, at our disposal, the very Word of God. Now, having said that, let me glean three thoughts very quickly before we do our business meeting. Really, just kind of way of, it's going to be that kind of way of devotion because I got too much stuff. I'm going to weed through it. But let me give you three things about this book. In the first place, notice the testimony of God's Word. Now, the reason I say that is because in verse 6 and 7, Paul gives us some characteristics of this book that no other book in this world can claim. Number one, he tells us, folks, God's Word is distinctive truth. Now, I say that because in verse 6, I like what Paul talks about all the supposed wisdom of man. In fact, here's what he said: "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world," he says, "that come to naught." Here's what Paul said. He looks at all the supposed wisdom of man through all the supposed great thinkers down through the ages. And he says, you know what? That wisdom comes to naught. But there is a little conjunction. I remember what was that conjunction? Junction, what's your function? That little song. I watched that. What was it called?
Yeah, Saturday mornings. I remember that. Anyway, there's a conjunction there, but. It's a very important word. What he does is he compares the supposed wisdom of man with the real wisdom of God. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, I thought about that. The wisdom of God, by the way, the Bible says, Paul has already said that even the foolishness of God, and you understand, God doesn't have a foolish bone in his body. But his argument is, if God had foolishness, then even the foolishness of God is wiser than man. You think about this. All the great thinkers down through the ages that have been proven to be wrong. All the different theories man has that has come to naught. At one time, and it hasn't been that long ago, comparatively speaking, in history, that all the great thinkers of man was absolutely convinced the world was flat, you know. And they thought that the earth was the center of the universe and that the sun actually revolved around the earth instead of the other way around. Well, all those theories that man has had down through the ages have come to naught. But listen, he says, the wisdom of God, which he ordained before the world. Listen, God's wisdom has never been disproved, has never been discredited. So that makes the Bible then a book in a class all to itself. This book, folks, is the eternal word of God. It has been attacked more than any other book ever written. People have sought to disprove it, discredit it. And this book still stands the test of time. This book is in a category all to its own. It is the only book without error, without any contradictions, without any mistakes whatsoever. It is the eternal, inerrant, infallible Word of God. This book's in a class all to itself. I read where a Russian dictionary many years ago defined the Bible like this. They said the Bible is a collection of legends without scientific support. I am sick to death today of hearing about, you know, how important the science is. Hey, folks, science in itself is okay. It means speaks of knowledge, you know. But today they want to use science like a hammer. Listen, science changes by its very nature. They have hypotheses, if I can say that word right. It's not fact. So it's never settled. It's always changing as we learn more. Well, they say the Bible is a collection of legends without scientific support. They said it's full of historical mistakes and contradictions, and it serves as a factor of gaining power in subjugated, unknowing nations. Let me tell you something. The philosophies of Russia have crumbled and fallen. This book is still standing. It is distinctive truth. There is not a book, and we need to get back. We realize this is God's word. There is not another book like it in all this earth. Will Horton was president of Moody Bible Institute, and he told the story, and I've experienced things like this before in my study, but he said one day he was sitting in his study, and he's preparing his message as normal. I tell you the trap teachers, preachers fall into is when the only time you study the Bible is to feed other people. You know, you can get out of fellowship very easy like that because you need to study the Bible for yourself. And Will Horton was there with his books, and I do. Sometimes you walk in my study. I'm not a computer whiz or computer geek. I don't like to have all this stuff on my computer. I like my books. And you'll see my books laying all around me, and I value them. And Will Horton was telling the story of doing that one day. And he said, I sat back in my seat, and I looked at all the books that surrounded me, and I've got a few books in my library. And he said, a thought come to me. And I said, books, he said, you have been my companion for many years. And I value you for what you are and what you've done for me. He said, I look at you as like a bottle of spring water. Thirsty, I reach up and I drink from your pages. But he said, books, whereas you are a bottle of spring water, he holds up his Bible and says, this is the spring itself. And whatever truth you have in your pages, it was first settled here. This is distinctive truth. Right? It is God's word. The second thing, it is disclosed truth. Verse 7 again. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Paul speaks of a mystery. The word mystery there is an interesting word. In the old language, in the old day, it carried the idea of shutting the mouth. You see, what does that mean? Paul says there are some truths that have been hidden that were ordained before the world, and then they are revealed. That's a mystery. There's all kinds of them. Well, we've talked about that before. The mystery of godliness, you know, the mystery of the church. There's all kinds of mysteries that spoke. A mystery is different than a secret. There are secret things that belong to the Lord. Have you ever gotten, I know you have, you ever get on a subject and you want to know the answer to something and you can't find it? Drives me batty. You get off on thinking about the sovereignty of God, it will just drive you batty. Do you you understand God never had a second thought? God just thought. We talk about the decrees of God. That's really a wrong terminology. There are not decrees. There is the decree of God. That's it. And you go back and you try to figure all this stuff out, the sovereignty of God. I'll tell you what, some of our fellows who want to soften down the doctrine of election. Folks, I believe God chose us from before the foundation of the world. That's in the Bible. I don't need to soften that down. But some of our preachers, they say, well, what God did, God looked down upon depraved man, and from them he chose. God, there is nothing in man that moved God one way or the other. God just moved. God just decreed. God can do that. You know he's God. But I don't know how I got off on that. You ever try to figure out something? And there's some things I cannot figure out. What Jay was teaching Sunday morning in the Sunday school hour. And I got giggled at him because I was glad he was teaching that and not me. Because I can't figure all that stuff out either. Every time I think I got it straightened out, something comes along and tears my playhouse all to pieces. But the word of, he said, we speak the word of God in a mystery. By the way, he says it was ordained before the world. The word of God is older than creation itself. And we recognize it is progressively given over time. Yes, we do have more revelation today than they had in the Old Testament. We do. It's been progressively given, but it has been completely given. There is no more revelation from God. This is it, folks. This is enough. Anyway, number one, we have the testimony of God's word. Number two, we have the treasure of God's word. I got to go through this very quickly, but he talks about the things that are presented, and he talks about the things that are prepared for us. Verse 9, he talks about those things that are prepared for us. First, he says, "Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, or neither did enter into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Listen, the word of God is such a treasure. And by the way, we apply that verse usually to something else altogether. I do it myself. And I don't think it's wrong to. We think that this verse is talking about what we're going to receive in the future. And I've applied it that way many times. Well, certainly that's true. I cannot even imagine. You know, it's like nothing we've ever seen, like nothing we ever heard, like nothing we could even imagine what God has prepared for us. But I got a newsflash for you. He's not talking about that which we cannot, that we got to wait on in this passage. He's talking about what we have right now. You see, how do you know that? Because he says, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Folks, the Word of God, if you're going to think about it, it's not of man, it's of God. It's like, and the things that God presents us in this book is like nothing you've ever seen, like nothing you've ever heard, like nothing you could even imagine. But thank God, God reveals them to us by his Spirit. In verse 12, he talks about those that which are presented. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. God wants you to know the things, he says, freely given to us of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's what we have right now. Folks, God has blessed us with spiritual things. God wants you to know them. It is the Spirit that presents them to us. I jotted down something else. And I'm just telling you how important the Bible is. It's we ought to read it all the time. But here's what a survey said. 12% of Americans read the Bible every day. 12%. It ain't no wonder we're in the shape we're in. It's been outlawed in our schools. They let you read the Quran, but not the Bible. 12%. Well, that's not all there is to it. 52% don't read the Bible at all. 33% only read it on Sundays. Or only read it at all throughout the week. 33% read it at all. 22% who consider themselves Christians, evangelical Christians, read the Bible outside of church. I wonder if you're in that crowd. Do you ever open your Bible outside the walls of this church? Folks, we ought to treasure the Word of God. Lastly, we have the teacher of the Word of God. And I like this because it's important for us to understand this book. Do I understand it all? No. I wish I could tell you I do. But God wants us to understand it. If we don't understand it, how can we know what God has presented and prepared for us? Let me tell you something. There's somebody that teaches us the Bible. Number one, the Spirit is the giver of the Bible. Verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Folks, the Holy Spirit is the one. And we got, remember, Peter said, 2 Peter, for our prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were born, or as literally as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book is of God. It's the Holy Spirit given. God said, seek ye out of the book and read. He said, none of them shall fail, no one shall want her mate. For my Spirit, it hath given, my Spirit hath given him, gathered them. The Holy Spirit gathers the Word of God. All Scripture is given by what? By inspiration of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the Bible, but folks, the Holy Spirit is also the guide to the Bible. Any truth I know, I mean any truth. And isn't it glorious that all of a sudden the light bulb comes on? I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. When God teaches you something, and let me tell you something, if God teaches you something, it's going to stick. In verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit of God reveals truth to you. So listen, you ought to read it frequently, you ought to read it prayerfully, right? But you better read it. And the Holy Spirit of God is our teacher. I read about this lady one time who read a novel, and when she finished the novel, she thought it was the most boring book she ever read. Struggled to finish it up. I've read books like that. I get stubborn. I'll start reading a book, and if it's boring, a novel or something, I'm determined to finish it regardless. Anyway, she read this novel. She thought it was the worst book she ever read. And then she met this man, and they developed a courtship and fell in love, and she found out he was the author of that book. She went back and read the book again, and all of a sudden, she thought it was the greatest thing ever written. And the reason was, she now knew and loved the author. We ought to love the Word of God. All right, let's stand. First and second verse.